Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. We're broadcasting this week from the Department of Ovine Studies here at Car Talk Plaza. We've been here before, haven't we?
Yeah, just recently, in fact. A few weeks ago, we got a letter from a delivery guy who was driving around listening to our show.
Oh, yeah, I remember. Yeah.
And when he stopped to deliver some groceries, mm-hmm. he left his truck running. When he came back, a flock of sheep was standing there listening to our show.
I remember. And when he opened the door so they could hear us more clearly, they all started bleating to beat the band.
Yeah.
Well, as we know, a large subset of our audience has what? Squat to do, right? So several of our listeners set out to investigate.
Right. Like Rich Dranger, who writes as follows. I deliver to many small farms, and after hearing that story, I happened to have a package for one of them last weekend. As I handed the customer her box, I turned to go back to my van when I noticed her three sheep walking toward us. Hmm. She said it was strange that they came up so close because they were usually shy with strangers. You can guess where this is
headed. I think I can.
I had left my door open and could clearly hear you two guys talking. The three sheep were standing next to the open door. I kid you not. The show then went to a break, and they wandered off back toward the barn. I mean, if I hadn't seen it, I would not have believed it. Rich from Beckett, Massachusetts.
Confirmation. The phenomenon is absolutely confirmed. Well, here's another loser, listener, who takes the research one step further. Neil writes the following. Being an ex-employee of Laughing Sheep Farms in Lincoln, New Mexico, I decided to try an experiment. I recorded your show, went to the farm, and played the recording to the sheep. Here's my observation.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's your laughter. There was absolutely no notice by the sheep when you were analyzing a car problem. Of course not. Sheep don't drive. Right? But as soon as a quip or one-liner or a clever retort was given, a little laughter would ensue. That laughter would perk up those little sheep ears, and they would approach the speaker and start bleating back. That's from Neil.
I love it. I guess Neil thinks our laughter sounds like sheep bleating.
Well, I don't think he's trying to cast any aspersions or anything. You know, he's just observed that when we started laughing, the sheep all came over and tried to rescue the two sheep who were stuck in the speakers.
You think we sound like sheep? I don't. I think that's ridiculous.
I've been told that our crack staff has done some field recording. I think Mayor took a tape recorder out with him last night when he visited his sheep. And let's hear what they brought back. I couldn't discern which of the sheep.
Which was us.
Can we hear it one more time?
Yeah.
That's you. That's you again.
That's good.
All right. Well, I'm convinced. Look, if you have a question about your car or the strange behavior of your sheep, give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
That's good.
Hey, guys. It's Ashley from Mobile, Alabama.
Hi.
Where are you from, Ashley?
Mobile, Alabama.
Oh, Mobile.
Mobile.
Yeah.
Isn't Mobile like the capital of Alabama?
Close.
What is?
I'm pretty sure that...
Oh, you don't know either.
No, because she's not in Alabama. She doesn't sound it. Montgomery's the capital of Alabama.
Yeah, but Mobile's like in South Alabama.
Ah,
okay.
Okay. Well, so thanks for calling.
I think Montgomery's the capital. It used to be.
It is.
Okay, good. What's up, Ashley?
Okay, well, I have a 1998 Mazda Protege, and for about 2 weeks now, it's been making this knocking noise when I turn left and right after I stop.
Yeah.
And when it first started, it wouldn't do it when I made a slight turn left or right. But now it's doing it if I make a slight turn. And it seems like it's coming from the front tires.
It is.
It is.
It is.
Okay. And I had a bearing, the bearings placed in the right front tire a while back, and I don't think that's what it is.
Is it coincidence, or does it increase in speed as the wheel turns faster, for example?
As the wheel turns faster, it increases in speed.
Oh, it does. Okay. It is. Uh-huh. So is it the kind of noise? I'll make the noise. You want to make the noise?
I don't. It's just
look,
like
I embarrass myself every week making noise. This is your one chance in a lifetime, Ashley, to do it yourself.
Metal on metal, like knocking noise. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I suspect it's a bad axle.
Bad axle?
Yeah, I mean, there is a possibility that whoever did the bearing didn't tighten it sufficiently.
Hmm.
You know, or left the wheel loose. There's always that possibility. So,
is it true that you didn't have this noise before you had the bearing replaced?
Well, yeah, but it was kind of a while back when I got the bearing
how
replaced.
How long a while?
Maybe, I don't know, 6 months.
Yeah, it's unlikely that they did it.
Yeah.
But if a wheel falls off tomorrow, you'll know that they did.
Well, what I'm concerned about is that my boyfriend actually lives like maybe an hour and 15 minutes away, and I go see him frequently, and it's interstate driving. And, you know, I don't know if it's safe to drive with that, you know, the noise and stuff.
Well, you only get the noise on turns.
Yeah.
Any turns between your house and his?
There's a few, yeah.
No,
why are you going out with a guy that's an hour and a half away from you?
Well, he just moved over. He moved to the beach. I'm moving over there too. So
he moved to the beach, and you're going to follow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, well, for school and that, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I got, okay, we're with you.
We got it now.
So you're probably safe.
Okay.
Assuming that, you know, a wheel isn't going to fall off, and a bad constant velocity joint would not cause the wheel to fall off.
Okay.
The constant velocity joints are located at the extremities of the axles, and because this is a front-wheel drive car,
mm-hmm.
you have two front axles, and each of those axles has two joints.
Okay.
When you are transmitting power through these joints to the wheels, and the joint has wear in it, especially when the wheel is turned and you're making a turn, you will get this knocking noise.
Okay.
If the CV joints fail, the wheels aren't going to fall off, but there's an outside chance that there's something else wrong.
Okay.
You know, and for that reason, it would be a good idea to get the thing checked out so that you can, you know, arrive without any disasters.
Okay.
And any worry, I mean, because it can ruin your trip if you worry that things are going to fall off.
Well, yeah, exactly.
That's
yeah.
why my brother doesn't enjoy driving. Every time he gets into his car, he says, oh, it's going to break next.
I'm used to it.
You know, something's
always going to break. I just wonder which piece is going to fall off today.
That's how it is, too. I really feel like that's how it is, too.
Yeah.
Well, no, once your car gets to a certain age, you know, you don't know things break all the time, but you don't want things to break that can cause you harm.
That are serious.
Yeah.
Okay.
So do you have a place you can go who will take care of this for you?
I do, yeah. I have, like, a neighborhood mechanic.
Perfect.
All right. Good luck.
Thanks, guys.
Happy romance. See you,
yeah.
Ashley.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Rudy from Walla Walla, Washington.
Hey, Rudy.
Walla Walla.
What's up, man?
Hey, I drive a 1998 Mercury Sable, and a few weeks ago, my oil light started flickering, and so stopped the car. 4 quarts of oil later, something's showing up on my dipstick again. And so I'm trying to figure out where my oil is going to.
Did this happen when oil was at $147 a barrel?
Yeah, something like that, exactly. Yeah.
How many miles on this thing?
About 110. I took it into my mechanic. He can't find any engine leaks, and he says that he thinks it's just coming out of the plug. And so that's great. I buy a new plug, and he tells me go get an oil change, which, you know, I hadn't done since, I don't know, Clinton was president.
Well, there you go.
Whoa. I mean,
no,
really?
It's not quite that bad. But
well, how bad is it?
It's probably been at least a year, I would say.
Oh, that's your problem. I don't think
that's it.
Yeah, the drain plug is not the problem.
So I go to the oil guys to get the oil change, and smoke starts rolling out from underneath my hood.
The hood.
I shut the car off. Bunch of guys come over, and sure enough, they say it smells like oil, and that I've got a leak. And they think maybe that it might be coming from around the pan. They think maybe it's leaking out from a gasket there, and then splashing on the manifold or something like that.
It could
when I'm driving.
It could be. It's more likely, I think, that the valve covers are leaking on this thing, and And as such, that oil is spilling onto the hot exhaust manifolds.
And
that'll make a lot of smoke. But I think that's the least of your problems.
Okay.
I think the fact that you haven't changed the oil since my brother was in high school is likely to be the larger problem.
Yeah.
And when you don't change the oil, what happens is the oil begins to break down and it can't do its job. And when it can't do its job and it doesn't lubricate the way it's supposed to and hold contaminants in suspension and all that, it begins to burn off. So you started off in 2001 with 5 quarts of oil, the last time you had your oil changed, whenever that was. You started off with 5 clean quarts of oil in there. And then as that got cruddier and cruddier, you burned off a quart and you wound up with now 4. But now you are asking those 4 dirty, grungy quarts of oil to try to do the work of 5.
5 clean quarts.
Clean, exactly. And they couldn't do it. They cried, "Uncle." And then another quart burned off. And now you had burned off so much oil that the oil light came on.
Yeah.
Because
news is there's nothing you can do about it.
It's too late. Damage is done.
Yeah, well, you can obviously put 4 quarts of oil in. It wouldn't be a bad idea at this point to change the oil.
Put a new
filter in and try one or more of the various additives that are available. The ones that have the big letters on them that says stops oil burning.
Yeah.
That's you, baby.
Give it a shot.
Yeah, so I think the smoke coming out might be all right. If you're lucky, the thing will catch fire and you'll have to get another car. But if you do manage to diminish, and I would have to say you'd have to check the oil level maybe at least once a week at this point to see if, in fact, you've been able to curtail the consumption. And you really don't have any idea at what rate you're burning it. You might get lucky.
Yeah.
You might be down to like a quarter month.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but try new fresh oil, a fresh filter, a bunch of additives, one at a time. And hope for the best.
Okay.
All right. And stimulate the economy. Go buy a new car.
All right.
See you, Rudy.
Good luck.
Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jennifer from Portland, Oregon.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hey,
what's
Jennifer.
Up?
Hi, I have a 96 Dodge Neon.
Okay.
And the windshield wiper fluid, the reservoir is full. I can see the fluid in there.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
But when I pull on the lever, it makes this horrible, like the buzzer on a game show kind of noise.
But nothing comes out.
But nothing comes out. Exactly. And I want to know, can I fix it myself?
Well,
or am I just going to have to live with this because I really don't know?
Oh, no.
There's another alternative.
you're going to need your windshield. I mean, remember years ago, cars didn't have windshield. Well, you don't remember. You're not old enough, Jennifer. But when we were kids, cars, for the most part, didn't have windshield washers. And it was an adventure to drive.
They did have them, but they were you.
You had to hang your head out the window when you couldn't see anymore. Before it started doing this, did you notice that one of the nozzles didn't work while the other one did?
No.
No. So they had both been working.
Yeah, they both worked. And then we ran out of fluid and we put more in. And that was about 4 years ago.
4 years.
And that's how long it hasn't been working?
And it hasn't worked since.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it was on our honeymoon. So it was almost 5 years ago.
So 5 years you have not had a windshield washer.
Right.
And those whole 5 years it's making the same sound as...
Yes.
Well, it sounds like it's the motor. You know, there's a little pump that's located in the bottle. You know that plastic bottle that you put the liquid into?
Yeah.
And it could have... I suppose it could have frozen. You get freezing temperatures in Portland, Oregon?
Well, our honeymoon was up in Mount Hood.
Mm.
It was in the low teens.
The low teens. I think that's when the damage occurred. I think whatever liquid you had in there froze and croaked the pump.
Okay.
So now you're hearing the pump trying to work, but it's all mangled because the ice got in there and bent the little impeller, you know, it's got a little impeller that turns, and that's what pushes the fluid, and that's what you're hearing. So you need to buy a new pump.
How much is that going to run me?
Jeez, I don't know. 30 bucks, 40 bucks, 50
bucks. I was
going to
guess 25.
Yeah, all right, it's 100.
Yeah, $31.95.
Keeping in mind,
they're on sale today.
Your old neon, and if it dies tomorrow, I will do a little dance of joy.
Well, you know what you can do, Jennifer? You can go to an auto cycling place, you know, what we used to call junkyards. And
you can buy
the whole thing, the bottle and the pump and the whole
fender
thing.
That goes with it.
Exactly. They give you the whole quarter of the car.
For the same price, $35.
Just put it on.
Yeah,
right?
Just put the whole fender on. It won't be the same color as the car, but it won't make any difference. You know? So you can buy that whole. This thing is tucked behind the plastic fender liner. When you go to the junkyard to buy it, you might get some insight as to how easy it is to replace.
Okay.
You know, but it's something you could do yourself. And the best part about this is that you've been without it for 5 years. And what's the worst that can happen? You screw it up, you don't have a washer now anyway.
Yeah, my mother always says, if it's already broken, you can't break it again.
If it's already broken, you can't break it again. Exactly right. That's our motto at the garage. All right, good luck.
Okay.
See you later.
See you, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, time for me to ask if you remember last week's puzzler.
Which means time for me to make a half-hearted attempt to recall it. You want me to do that now?
Nah, that's okay. You can skip it this week. Don't hurt yourself. I'll jump right to your hint. You
sure,
ready?
Hint away.
Okay, I'm going to give you some words that are associated with the subject of the puzzler. Are you ready? Ready
for your
hint?
Sure.
Okay, hits, strikes, errors, and runs.
Well, it sounds like my typical parallel parking experience.
No, you don't. It was a baseball puzzler, and I'll have the whole story, and we'll take more of your car questions in just a minute.
Please stay tuned.
When I was a kid, all I ever really wanted was a scooter. Thought every boy and girl ought to have their very own scooter. I'm talking
And even though audiologists say to their clients, would you like me to put that earwax back in whenever they hear us say it? This is NPR, National Public Radio. Hey, if you find yourself thinking, you know, this show gets worse every time I hear it, why not check out some classic shows from our archives, like when we used to be good?
When was that?
It's just a figure of speech, you know?
You can download any show from the Car Talk archives at cartalk.com. Just click where it says, listen to the show.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Taproot Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the answer to last week's puzzler. And this came from a baseball fan named Harold Pressburg, who says he was looking at the box score for a game between the Cardinals and the Mets. Mm. He was looking at the stats for a certain pitcher who came in at the start of the seventh inning. You paying attention?
Yeah, I remember this now.
Says this guy had an interesting pitching line. It said, innings pitched, 1. Hits allowed, 0. Pretty good so far, right? Runs allowed, 1. Earned runs allowed, also 1. Strikeouts, 1. Bases on balls, 0. Yeah. So in other words, he pitched 1 inning, and of course in doing so, he recorded 3 outs, right?
Yeah.
Gave up no hits, no walks, and yet was still charged with an earned run. The question is, how was this possible?
How do I know?
Well, I couldn't expect you to have the answer. You couldn't even remember the question. Turns out he pitched the seventh inning, and he did pretty much exactly that. He struck out a guy, didn't walk anybody, and didn't allow any runs in the seventh inning. Eighth inning comes. He comes out, hits the first batter with a pitch.
Yeah.
Doesn't get recorded in his line score. The manager says, you doofus, takes him out.
Yeah.
Brings in another pitcher. That guy gives up a home run.
Oh.
This guy gets charged with an earned run because he hit that guy.
I got it. That's good.
Because he didn't record any outs in the next inning.
Yeah.
He didn't get charged with pitching an inning in a third. He pitched one full inning according to the box score.
Yeah.
Right? Didn't get anyone out in the eighth inning.
Nope.
Or whatever inning it was that he pitched.
That's good.
Hit the guy.
I like it.
You shouldn't be hitting people. I keep telling you that. Do we have a winner?
Our winner this week is Mike Young, who listens these days via podcast in the Czech Republic.
Oh, so he must be very familiar with the Czech engine light, right?
Anyway, for having his answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Mike gets a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at cartalk.com, with which you can get a copy of our latest book called Ask Click and Clack.
Now, I'm going to just give you some of the chapter headings just to give you an idea of the seriousness of this undertaking.
Yeah, yeah, go.
Chapter 1, the perfect car for a pizza delivery guy.
Ooh, heavy stuff.
Oh, yeah. Chapter 6, sacred male bonding rituals.
Yeah, archaeological and sociological.
Chapter 8, you may never have a chance to do anything this stupid again.
I've never found that to be the case.
No, you always seem to find creative new opportunities for yourself. Anyway, we have a new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show, so stay tuned. Meantime, if you have a car question, we're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255.
What if I don't have a car question?
We're still at 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Michael Collins.
Hi, Michael. What's up?
Well, I've got a 1993 Ford Escort, and it's got some transmission problems. At first, when I got the car, you could put it in drive and start off.
Wait, where are you from?
Originally from England, Cambridge.
Yeah, we knew that. Where?
Fulbourne, Cambridge.
Where are you from now?
Oh, I beg your pardon. From Monroe, North Carolina. Oh,
okay.
Ah.
All right. Well, now the car, I can't put it in drive. I have to put it in low gear, and when the RPMs rev up, I can then shift it into drive.
Oh.
That doesn't sound good.
No. And does it ever clear itself up after the thing warms up if you've driven it?
Yeah, absolutely. Ah. Yeah. If I let the car warm up when I first get in it for about 10, 15 minutes, it's a lot better. And after I've been driving down the road, it goes quicker. But when I first start off, the RPMs just seem to, the engine sounds like the car should be going fast, but it absolutely doesn't.
I hate to ask maybe an embarrassing question, but have you ever checked the transmission fluid level?
It looks full, but the fluid itself looks pretty nasty.
Any fish swimming in it? any evidence of any protozoans?
I haven't noticed any as of yet.
Well, I'm afraid, Michael, it's probably too late.
Yeah. Oh no!
Yeah, you have like 145,000 miles on this thing.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, you're absolutely brilliant because that's what's on there.
Well, you're done for then. you can try having you can go to a place and have the fluid and the filter changed. In fact, I recommend one of these machines that actually changes all the fluid.
Is that a costly endeavor?
Well, it's about one-tenth the cost of a new transmission.
So I think it's like that.
I think it's worth a shot. It may get you nothing, you know, and there are many people who suggest that, you know, you ought to let sleeping dogs lie, that when you go and do these kinds of things to old transmissions, you're just inviting disaster.
I
think you already sent them an engraved invitation.
Well, I did receive a suggestion from a pseudo-mechanic. He said that I should take the radiator cap off and park a new car under it and then snug up the radiator cap.
You could do that. No, well, I think what's going to happen is, here's the likely thing that's going to happen. You're going to put the fluid in. You'll notice an improvement for a short period of time. And at that,
like an hour.
Well, and then if the clutches are burning up, which is I suspect what's happening, the fluid will very soon get dark brown again.
How long does it take for those to burn up?
About 145,000 miles. You know, the fluid is both the lubricant and also the thing that conveys the friction from one piece of the clutch to another. You know, so when the fluid begins to break down, it can't do either job correctly. And once you've crossed that line, then you start really doing damage. And like the caller earlier in the show who hadn't changed his oil in about 12 years, you probably didn't change the transmission fluid on this thing ever.
No, never.
Never.
Yeah.
Never ever.
Too late.
Yeah.
Well, so it might not be too late, but give it a shot.
Well, I value your opinion, so that's what I'll do.
Well, you won't after next week, but I think you need to try changing the fluid. But have in the back of your mind that if you're going to keep this car, you're probably going to spend well over $1,000 to have the transmission rebuilt.
Oh, blast. No, it only needs to last until the beginning of the year. So,
that's tomorrow.
You're in good shape then. Don't worry about it.
Fantastic.
Change the fluid and hope for the best.
Right.
See you, Michael.
All right. I appreciate you taking my call.
Take care.
Thanks, pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Cheerio.
Hey, you know what time it is?
Time to turn over the compost pile and the passenger seat of your Fiat?
No. It's time to play Stump the Chumps. This is the part of the show where we dig up a caller from a previous show to see if they followed our advice.
And if so, when the body cast comes off. So who's our lucky player this week?
It's Jennifer from Van Nuys, California. Remember Jennifer?
Remind me.
Well, Jennifer called us back in June. She had an 01 Beetle that had cost her a fortune in repairs, and she was ready to dump it.
I've been thinking about this for a long time, and I would really like to take the car out to a field and charge people like a dollar a swing and just go to town on the car.
So you want to do this because you're so angry at this car.
Wow.
That you want, not only you, do you want to beat the snot out of it, but you want complete strangers to come by and beat your car up. What makes you think that they'll have this, they'll be able to strike this car with the same vehemence and dislike that you harbor for this car?
Well, I figure people like destroying things, and so this would be an opportunity to destroy a car. They could be destroying it on behalf of any car problems they have.
But you're throwing away a lot of money here because you have a car, the body of which is pretty good, maybe, and the engine of which is very good.
Well, and my other question is just if you've ever done this before yourselves or known of anyone.
Well, like, not when customers were watching.
No, I never had a car that would...
That could take that kind of punishment.
Usually, when I'm swinging a sledgehammer at my car, it's because I'm trying to get it started.
So anyway, what did we tell Jennifer?
Well, we thought the public flogging was wasteful.
Yeah.
So we suggested that she give it to somebody who could really use it and hold an essay contest to pick a winner.
Oh, really? Well, let's see whether vengeance won over charity. Jennifer, are you there?
I am.
How are you?
Before you fill us in, we have not spoken since your last appearance on Car Talk. Is that true?
That is correct.
And the answer you're about to give us has not been influenced by our staff, the staff of NPR, or by the anger management DVDs we sent you?
That is also correct.
Oh, good.
So, Jennifer, what did you do with the car?
Well, you guys successfully talked me down from the field beating.
Oh, really?
I actually decided to take you guys' advice, and what better way to give away the car than in front of the very company who made the piece of junk.
So what did you do?
So a couple days ago, we stood in front of the Volkswagen Van Nuys dealership of Van Nuys with huge signs that said, free car, no joke.
No kidding?
Yes, we did. So
did you give it away?
We did.
Wonderful.
So who ended up getting the car?
It was a little family from Van Nuys. They had just gotten married, and they had a brand new baby, and they didn't have a car between the two of them, so they would either have to take the bus like at early in the morning to go to work, or sometimes they'd have to walk home late at night because the bus wasn't running then. And I just thought this would be a great car. So I actually narrowed it down to two different families, and this was the one that I drew out of the hat.
Oh, really? So they're going to have all the heartache and misery with this car that you've had.
Have they called you yet?
Have they tried to give it back to you yet?
I didn't give them my phone number.
Refresh my memory. What was the straw that broke the camel's back?
There really wasn't a specific, because it had been in the shop every other month on average for about 7 years. So it was just kind of like the last time I went to the mechanic. I was like, you know what? I'm done. I'm just done.
Well, you know what?
I'm sick of looking at you.
It may be done. And in fact, you may have fixed the last thing that could have broken.
This
car is going to, you're going to run into these people someday, and they're going to say to you, Jennifer, we put 97,000 trouble-free, wonderful miles in this car. We can't thank you enough. We have a shrine in our house for Jennifer. So you may have gotten all the bad out of it.
I could have.
But it also may have been you. Maybe you and the car just, you know, had a natural antipathy for one another.
Maybe we didn't get along. Maybe
But you did do a wonderful thing for these folks. That's a nice thing that you did.
Yeah.
And more people should do that. And it's nice to actually connect a face.
Yeah.
You know, so when they come after you in the middle of the night, you'll know who they are. Anyway.
Oh, Jennifer, thanks for playing Stump the Chumps.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye, Jennifer. Good work.
Bye-bye.
If you hear someone you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps, email us your suggestion from cartalk.com.
But why wait? You can stump us right now. It's easy. It's fun. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys, this is Aaron from Eugene, Oregon. How you doing?
Good, Aaron. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm a grad student out here, and I've got a noise in my car, and I'm hoping maybe you can help me figure out what it is, because I just can't afford to get it fixed.
Okay. Yeah.
I drive an 85 Chrysler Fifth Avenue. This was a gift from my my roommate, who through no fault from his own wrecked my other car, a nice little 2000 Tercel.
Yeah.
It's got a really loud rattle in the back when it idles, and I can't locate it. It doesn't do it all of the time. It sounds like big pieces of metal banging on each other really fast. It does this kind of bada 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 sound.
Well, it should be easy to get someone to crawl under there while you're sitting in the car.
You'd think so, but it's intermittent, and I really don't drive it very much. I ride my bike just about everywhere that I go, and so it's like the only times that I drive it, I'm driving it because I'm in a hurry because, you know, I left too late or whatever, and I can't get under there to figure out what it is.
Oh.
You know,
I thought when you were in a hurry, you took the bike.
Right, yeah.
You have a girl. You have a girlfriend?
Yes, I do.
You do? Well, she might be willing to crawl under there. Oh, she can sit in the driver's seat and you crawl under there. Well, here's what you do. Before you, don't worry about trying to reproduce it. You, with the engine off and the car in park and the handbrake set, without jacking the car up, you can lie down on a, you know, if you park the car on a grassy field, for example, you can get under there without getting too dirty, and you might see something obvious. And I wouldn't be surprised if you have a loose shock absorber.
A shock absorber, okay. Because I looked back there. I've got a trailer hitch, and I thought maybe that was it. And I yanked on that, and that didn't do anything. And I kind of looked around, like the muffler and places like that, just looking for anything that moved when I pulled on it.
But you haven't been to any kind of repair shop to have someone look at
it? No, because that costs money, and Aaron ain't got no stinking money.
I got none of it.
You're going to have to crawl into this thing yourself and figure it out, because if you take it someplace, they are going to charge you money. So I think your best hope is to find out what it is on your own. And just when you get under there, bring a flashlight with you. You know, are you a skinny enough guy that you could get under there, or are you...
Yeah, I could probably figure that out.
What do you weigh?
Oh, I don't know, about 160.
Oh, you're good.
You're good.
Unless you're 4 feet tall, you're good.
Yeah, I'm definitely not 4 feet tall.
So you'll be able to get under there with a flashlight, and you'll be able to look at stuff. And I bet you in 5 minutes you're going to figure it out. It sounds like it's something simple, like a broken exhaust hanger, a shock mount that's broken off, or one of these bolts on your trailer hitch.
Okay.
And I would bet that you could find some place that wouldn't charge you, because they would expect you to give them the business of fixing it. So just to find it, they might not charge you anything for that. They'll say you need blah, blah, blah. When you get the money, come on in.
Okay.
Right. Or you could do what our customers do. They pretend they're going to fix it. They come in with money hanging out of their pockets. And then after we diagnose it, that money has disappeared. And they say, well, I'll come back tomorrow, and you never see them again. So once you know what it is and you know it's not dangerous, then you can just ignore it.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, is there anything I should be concerned about when I'm under there if I'm looking, or?
Well, don't smoke.
Okay.
No, gotcha. And you should be concerned about the car rolling away. So just make sure that the thing's in park and you have the handbrake set. And it wouldn't be a bad idea to chalk the wheels, especially if you're on an uneven surface, you know, or an inclined surface. But no, nothing's going to happen.
But in all honesty, if you've never been under there, it's going to be difficult for you to notice something that's wrong, whereas if a mechanic goes under there, he's going to know what's wrong right away.
Right.
So it would really help to get someone to just crawl under there who knows
what he's doing. Yeah, cruise the neighborhood. You'll find a shop where there's three lifts and no cars on them. And they'll be dying. They'll pay you to go up on the lift.
Okay.
I think Tommy's advice is good.
All right.
Good luck.
See you, Aaron.
I appreciate you guys. Thanks
for your call. Bye-bye. All right, it's time for us to take a quick break.
Before you do that, can I read some fan mail?
Sure. I mean, whose fan mail is it? Carl Castle's?
No. This was actually sent to us by a kid named Elias.
Okay, good.
He says, "Dear Click and Clack, I want to thank you for your podcast." You see, he's a fan.
Oh, I guess so, yeah.
"I turn on your show when I'm starting homework. It motivates me to get my work done, so I can turn off the show and bandage my bleeding eardrums."
See, we didn't get any from the sheep like that. Another satisfied customer. Well, look, we'll be back in just a minute with a brand new puzzler from my Mistaken Identity series.
Oh, and we'll have more of your calls, too, so please stay tuned.
See her cruising down the street. That two-tone seam spear's really sweet. Four bent ports on either side and a big old grill. Grinning wide, it's a Betty Buick boogie, mile after mile. It's a Betty Buick boogie, road master style. Well, you ought to see her step it up and go, and you work on through that dial.
running strong. It gives a banging beat to this boogie song. It's a Betty Buick boogie, mile after mile. It's a Betty Buick boogie, roadmaster style.
And even though General Motors car radios ask for a bailout whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
Okay.
I think I mentioned this was from my Mistaken Identity.
Yes, you did
series.
Say that. I don't know what that means.
I don't either. This was sent in by a fellow named Dick Boland, and I didn't obfuscate this. Rather, I shortened it considerably. So here goes. The front brakes on my old pickup truck started grinding on Friday before Labor Day. So I delayed my long-laid plan so I could take Saturday to do the brake job. I got up Saturday morning, took a leisurely stroll to the parts store a couple of blocks away from my house. I told them in English, which was the same language that they spoke at the store, the year, make, model, and engine size of my truck, and that it was also a four-wheel drive. You with me so far? I had them fetch me brake pads, new rotors, and the caliper hardware kit. I got home and jacked up the front of the truck and put it on jack stands. I had a late lunch, watched the DVD, and then removed the wheels and the calipers. And then I discovered the old inner pad on one side was the grinding culprit and completely shot, so I knew now where the noise was coming from. I then opened up and laid out all my new parts and discovered that not one single new part matched any of the old parts. By this time, of course, the parts store had closed early for the holiday weekend, and my truck was jacked up in front of and thus blocking my car in the driveway. So I was effectively under house arrest for the remainder of the holiday weekend. The cause of the entire debacle boiled down to a single syllable.
Ooh.
Here's the question. What is the make of my truck? And what is the last digit of the model year? And by make, I mean, is it a, you know, like a Chevy, a Ford, a Dodge, a Nissan, right? That's
the
make.
Yeah, yeah.
And what's the last digit of the model year? So a 2005, 5 would be the last digit. 1991.
Yeah, like, yeah, I got
it. One of your cars, 1887, 7 would be the last digit. So what's the make of my truck and what's the last digit of the model year? Now, if you think you know the answer, don't forget.
That's good, that's good.
One syllable.
Yeah.
If you think you know the answer, write it on a Honda HS724 four-stroke two-stage snowblower with commercial-grade overhead valve engine, of course, 24-inch clearing width, self-propelled hydrostatic transmission, track drive, pedal-adjustable auger height, and a shipping container full of Swiss Miss Instant Hot Chocolate Packets. It's going to be a long winter.
I like it.
And send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
But right now, if you have a car question for us, we're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Or if you have any sheep that need to be entertained. Hello,
yeah, we just laughed. There's a sheep.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Marty from East Greenbush, New York.
Hi, Marty. How are you?
Marty.
I'm good.
What's going on?
Well, I'm calling about my husband's car. He's got a 2005 Subaru Outback, and it chirps. It chirps like a cricket.
And under what circumstances does it chirp?
Well, it has to be warmed up, so you have to be driving it for about at least about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It stops when you brake.
Oh, so if you drive for 10 minutes, then it starts chirping all by itself as you're driving.
It starts chirping by itself as you're driving.
Oh, and it stops when you're stepping on the brake.
When you step on the brake, it stops. And when you turn the wheel to make a turn, it stops.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I'm guessing he has 38 to 42,000 miles in this thing.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Yeah, I think he needs brakes.
Really? Now, we had just gotten the brake rotors replaced.
Uh-huh.
You did?
We did, because it was the tires were squealing.
The tires were squealing. Okay. Well, I don't understand why they did that, but, you know, they might have had a special on rotors.
The tires were squealing.
And they replaced the rotors, but not the brake pads?
I don't believe so.
Do you know if they did the front and or the rear?
No, I'm not sure.
There are brake rotors on all four wheels on this vehicle.
Okay. Well, do you know what he paid?
I think $400 or $500.
Oh, but he got tires, too, in the process, or not?
No.
New air freshener?
No.
Zip-out lining? No, never mind. Well, here's what I think it is, and it could be something else, but we'll explore that, too.
Yeah.
There's something called a wear indicator on brake pads, and it's a thin little reed of metal that's attached to the pad, and it's designed to vibrate and make a squeaking kind of annoying noise when the wheels are turning.
And so, the brakes are needing to be replaced.
Right. So when the pads are worn out, that little reed touches that spinning disc rotor and makes this kind of noise. And sometimes...
Was that the noise
you were getting?
Pretty close, yeah.
Sometimes when you step on the brake pedal, you deform the pad just enough so that little reed of metal isn't touching anymore and the noise will go away. Eventually, it won't make any difference. You'll have the noise all the time.
Well, now here's something interesting, is that my husband was driving down to D.C., and that's like a six-hour drive, and about halfway through the trip, the noise stopped.
All right, so now we're going to plan B now.
Okay.
Plan B is he has a sticky brake caliper.
Okay.
And a sticky brake caliper could cause that, too, because it's a tantamount to your stepping on the brake pedal. Okay, the whole time. And
okay.
The reason the noise went away was after driving for several hours on the highway, the pads wore out a little bit because he didn't use the brakes for all that time, and they wore out enough to make the squealing go away. What was making the squealing was the action of the pads partially pushing against that disc because of the sticking caliper. But as he drove along, the squealing went away because the pad material wore out enough so there was no contact.
Okay, but then a couple of days later, when he got back in the car,
it
started again.
Oh, sure, because the caliper is sticking and not releasing when you release the foot pedal. So he needs to go back to these guys.
Or he's got to go back to D.C.
One or the other.
Right,
whatever's cheaper. But if he doesn't want to go back to D.C., he's got to go to these guys in East Greenbush and say, hey, guys, take a look at my calipers because I think I have a sticky one.
Okay, and you're absolutely sure it's not just a cricket that's living in the back of my husband's
car? It's not a cricket.
Probably not.
No, the cricket would have jumped off someplace.
Okay.
No, he's going to take it back because the sticking caliper will eventually ruin those brake pads. It'll also overheat the disc rotor and cause it to warp.
And that runs into money.
Well, you already paid for that. So I think they diagnosed half of the problem, but they missed the other half.
Okay.
And I'm really, whoever these guys are, should be ashamed of themselves. They had the chance to get a full boat payment out of you guys.
And they didn't.
They only got
a
half a boat payment.
Yeah. Well, so it's not boating season.
It's not boating season.
Their mind wasn't on it.
Well, not outside Albany, New York. It's not.
No, I guess not. Well, good luck, Marty.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for your call.
Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi. This is Jake calling from St. Louis, Missouri.
Hi, Jake.
Jake.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
We're doing great. What's up?
Well, I used to have a Volvo S40, and it was a great car, automatic transmission. And if I ever eased my foot off the brake and I was on an incline, say stopped at an intersection behind a bunch of cars, my car would either sit still or inch forward a little bit up the hill.
Yeah.
That car got totaled, but my new car, which is a Honda Civic, brand new, 2008, also automatic.
Mm-hmm.
In the same situation,
it rolls backwards.
What is going on?
Well, what's going on? I think if I had my choice, I'd rather have the car that rolls backwards.
Really?
Having a car that creeps forward, especially going up a hill, is in a sense wasting the power of the engine to have that feature. And while it's not desirable to have your car roll backwards, don't forget when the light does turn green, you take your foot off the brake and you step on the gas and go. And I think it's just a matter of how much power that is going from the engine to the transmission. And you can accomplish... When you don't need it, exactly. And you can increase that power very simply by raising the engine idle speed. So let's say you had an engine that idled at 600 RPM and it was just enough to hold the car on a moderate hill with your foot off the brake. If you increase that idle speed to 900, the car would begin to creep along. And that's a waste, because it's a waste of fuel and it's a waste of the engine's power to have it use that up, use up fuel to try to allow the car to go forward when it doesn't need to.
So while I might get in a fender bender because I'm rolling backwards, I'm being more energy efficient.
Yeah, and you're not going to get into a fender bender. You got your foot on the brake, right?
I do my foot on the brake when I take it off. I think I've just been really spoiled by the way my car is.
Well, I have a Volvo myself, and I'm trying to think if it has that same characteristic. I hadn't noticed it. Maybe there was something wrong with your Volvo, but I hadn't noticed that most cars don't do that, as a matter of fact. Years ago, almost all automatic transmission cars did that. In fact, if you owned like a 78 Volare and you took your foot off the brake, you'd be going 25 miles an hour if you weren't careful. You know, so I think that the vast majority of manufacturers have made it so the car doesn't really move much when you take your foot off the brake and you're in drive, because otherwise you're just wasting gas. So you've adapted to it, I hope.
I'm trying to as much as I can.
You'll get used to it.
Yeah, especially if
you're going to hit a couple of people behind you, and then you'll get used to it.
Watch out for pedestrians crossing behind you, that's all. Pay attention.
Will do.
All right, Jake, thanks for your call.
Hey, thanks for your help.
888-CAR-TALK, that's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Lindsay calling from San Diego.
Lindsay?
Oh, Lindsay.
Yeah, Lindsay.
Lindsay
from sunny San Diego.
Yep, that's me.
So how many days on average is it sunny in San Diego?
Too many.
It can never be too many.
I don't know. Maybe 320 days probably more. 350 days a year are sunny, I'd guess.
No kidding.
Yeah, you'd get sick of that after.
I don't think
so. After 15 years. Anyway, Lindsay, how can we help you?
I drive a 1985 Nissan truck, which I inherited from my grandfather, who purchased it from the neighborhood clown.
Well, how
from the neighborhood clown?
Yes. So the car drives pretty good. However, when I turn it off, take the key out of the ignition, sometimes I'd say maybe 50 to 75% of the time, the engine stays on and it kind of sputters to a stop. Sometimes it sputters for 5 or 10 seconds, and sometimes I have to put the car in first or second and let
stall
the clutch out. Let it stall.
Otherwise, it will just keep going.
Yes, exactly. And sometimes that's not a problem, but most of the time, you know, if I'm in a parking lot in a ritzy area especially, it's quite embarrassing.
Yes, it is.
It turns heads
because it stinks, too, if you've noticed. What comes out of the tailpipe is really smelly.
Really?
Well, you will not notice it because you're sitting inside.
Yeah,
that's true.
You're at the wrong end of the truck. If you were at the stinky end, anyone behind you would really be offended, because it's very incomplete combustion that's taking place and allowing the engine to kind of chug along. It's called dieseling.
Oh.
Yeah, because when you turn the key off, you shut off the spark plugs. But if inside the cylinders is very hot, then some of that gasoline and air mixture that's getting sucked in, because when you turn the key off, the engine kind of keeps turning a little bit on its own. It's got some momentum. And it'll suck in gasoline and air, and a hot piston could ignite kind of that mixture of gasoline and air that's in there and cause the engine to make it one more revolution. And then another piston does the same thing. And
that's what it sounds like.
And it just goes on and on and on. All right, we got it. Shut up.
So why is it that sometimes it does it and sometimes it doesn't? It seems to be related with how much gas is in my tank.
Wrong.
No.
No?
Absolutely not. If it's being affected by anything, it's on how hot the engine is.
Oh, okay.
You can affect this to some extent. You can try some interesting things here.
Okay.
You can try using some higher octane fuel.
Oh.
Okay, but the best thing, believe it or not, for clearing this up is H2O. And I wouldn't suggest that. By the way, the reason this is doing this is this thing is carbureted. This is not fuel injected.
Okay.
And on vehicles of this age, there's almost nothing you can do to hurt them. So here's what I'm going to suggest.
Yeah, right.
you get a...
Hose it down.
You get a sprayer, you know, the kind that you would have, that Windex would have been in?
Yeah.
And you fill up the bottle with water.
Mm-hmm.
And while the engine is running, you have taken off the air cleaner so you can see the top of the carburetor. And you can, while the engine is idling, you can spray in some water. If you spray too much in, the engine will begin to stumble or maybe even stall, and you'll have to restart it.
Okay.
But you can continue to spray water in there And when you do that, you can actually have someone else inside the thing revving it up a little bit, and you will blow out some of the carbon that is causing this dieseling to take place.
Okay, I like that solution.
You
know.
And you're not going to put the hose down there. You're just going to put a spray bottle.
Yeah,
okay.
And you could actually spray quite a bit of water. You'd be amazed.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and if that doesn't work, you can try the hose.
No.
But it may work. And then after you do this, you take the thing out and drive it, give it a good run, and then turn it off, and I bet it won't diesel.
Perfect.
Yeah. You could also go for a tune-up and have them check the timing and all that.
Nah.
But that would be too easy.
That would be expensive.
So I'm more interested, actually, in the clown. How did this car came via your grandfather, you said?
Yeah,
but
my grandfather. He passed away, and so I got the truck, and he had purchased it from a clown, and he was a Shriner's clown, actually.
Oh, one of those guys with the pointy shoes and then driving the little cars.
Exactly.
Right.
And you should hear the horn on my car. It's amazing.
Oh, does it play like the Mexican hat dance or something?
It doesn't play a song. It's just like really loud and really high-pitched.
Oh, so, I love it.
Great.
Make us a recording and send it to us, will you?
I'll do that.
All right. See you, Lindsay.
Good luck,
Thank
Lindsay.
You.
Thanks
Bye.
For your call. Bye-bye. Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk.
Oh, yeah.
Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are Louis Cronin, the Barbarian, and David SPF 250 Green. Our senior web blackie is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. And our production assistant is Aaron Wax. Our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor is just back from the Abu Dhabi Broccoli Rabi, Rice Punjabi, Peas Wasabi, and Beef Kebabi free lunch hobby is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our second shift meteorologist is Cloudy Overnight. Our food taster is Howard M. Burgers. Our used car salesperson of the month is Meg Meehan-Hoffa. Our class attendance monitor is Julie Verley. Tommy's personal psychiatrist is Manny Luce Cruz. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the folks shopping for live imported pure Zoroastrian chocolate bars at Cardullo's in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
And don't drive like my brother.
I agree. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. CDs of the show, which is number 847, along with Car Talk clothing, audio collections, and other Car Talk gifts, are available at 888-CAR-JUNK or by going to the Shameless Commerce Division of our website, cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, check out the list of cars we currently recommend.
Your Fiat's not on that list, is it?
No. Why?
Oh, just making sure you didn't tamper with the results.
No, this is a list we're just starting to build, and it's a quick way to see what cars we happen to like right now if you're in the market for a car.
And if you take any of the repair advice that we gave out today,
you will be in the market for a car soon. That's our list of currently recommended cars on the homepage of cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Thanksgiving turkeys jostle each other to be first at the chopping block whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.